Today's daf is Bab Basra daf Kuf Mem. We are holding a daf Kuf Lam Tesim Beis. We just began the ninth parak of Maseches Bab Basra yesterday by reading the Mishnah. Today's shiur is sponsored by Dr. David Lander in honor of his wife and children. I lead the Mishnah, his mother, Golda Bar Simcha Shalom, as well as by Daniel Sadian for the success of Klal Yisrael in these times, and Atzlacha for our soldiers and our captives, they shall return home safely, and also by Shlomo Steinman in, as a Refor Shlema for Leia Bas Rivka Vega. She should have a Refor Shlema Besoch Shar Chole Yisrael. We thank all the sponsors very much for the sponsorship. So first thing we're going to discuss today is the Mishnah had said yesterday, yeah, the Zoom is conking out. If you have a better Zoom, I don't know. The Mishnah said yesterday that how we treat the banim and the banos and the Yerusha in terms of what they get is all dependent on whether it's nechasim merubim or nechasim muatim. So we're going to if it was nechasim merubim, the banim get the Yerusha and the banos just get mezonos. If it's nechasim muatim. If it's nechasim muatim, then the thank you. Okay. If it's nechasim muatim, then the banim don't get Yerusha, and the banos still get their mezonos. So we're going to spend a lot of time today discussing that concept of nechasim merubim and nechasim muatim. First, we're going to define what exactly is nechasim muatim, what's considered not so much nechasim. Then the Gemara is going to discuss what if it changes. It started out as nechasim muatim, but inflation, deflation, it became nechasim merubim, vice versa. Then the Gemara is going to talk about how money owed to other people goes into that cheshbon of nechasim muatim, meaning it seems like nechasim merubim, but there's also an obligation to support a daughter that a wife had from another marriage, or there's an obligation to support an almana, or there's a balchov that has some tainus. So when you're done with all that, maybe it will be nechasim muatim. So how do we cheshbon all that? And then on Bays, right before the Mishnah, the Gemara is going to explain what Admon meant. Admon had this cryptic line in the Mishnah where instead of just arguing the way Tanoim normally argue, he said, "Shvil shani zachar if sadati, because I'm a man, so I lose out." So what did he mean by that? That when he said, "Shvil shani zachar if sadati," then on Amud Bays, the Mishnah is going to teach us the dinim of tumtum when it comes to Yerusha. That we're discussing what the banim get and what the banos get when it's the Chasim Rubim, the Chasim Muatim. What if there's a tumtum in the mix? Does he get a Yerusha with the banim, or does he get mizonos together with the banos? And what if there's only a tumtum? What's his status when it comes to Yerusha? So that's going to bring us to the end of the daf. So let's begin at the Gemara right after the Mishnah on Kuf Lamed Tesim Beis. So we had made this distinction in the Mishnah between the Chasim Rubim and the Chasim Muatim. So the Kamim Rubim, how much is the Chasim Rubim? So two opinions. Amar Rav Yehuda Marav, Kedei Sheyizonu Mehen, Eilu Ve'Eilu Shneimasar Chodesh. Nechasim Rubim means that there's enough to provide mizonos, to provide support for both the sons and the daughters for 12 full months. Anything less than that is Nechasim Muatim. Ki Amrisa Kamei D'Shmuel, when I said this in front of Shmuel, Amar Zo Divrei Rabban Gamliel Barabi, that yes, that is in fact the Shita of Rabban Gamliel Barabi. Aval Chachamim Omrim, but Chacham say that the Shir of Nechasim Rubim is that it should be enough to provide mizonos for the sons and the daughters until the daughters become 12 years old. And if the nechasim doesn't have the sheer mizonos to provide that, then it's nechasim muatim. So it's two different definitions. Is it that it's got to be a year or ad sheyibagru, that it's got to be able to provide the mizonos? Now, it's interesting because we had said that Kamris Kamin Shmuel, he said, Zudivri Rabban Gamliel Bar Rebbe. The Rav Gamliel Bar Rebbe is one that said 12 months. So the Rishonim asked the question that Rav Gamliel is one that said Roani es Divrei Admon. So apparently he doesn't agree to this chiluk between the Chasim Rubim and the Chasim Muatim to begin with. Meaning in our Mishnah, Admon said Rashil Shani Zachar of Sadi. What? When there's the Chasim Muatim, all of a sudden I'm going to have to be Shaul al Psachim because I'm a male. Males shouldn't have to be in such a bad position that we need to be Shaul al Psachim. And Rav Gamliel said Roani es Divrei Admon. Admon has a point. Admon Amnon is correct, well, if Rav Gamliel thinks Amnon is correct, then there is no such thing as Nechasa Muatim, meaning the Banim are always going to get the Yerusha anyway. The whole discussion is academic. So the Yad Ramah suggests that Rav Gamliel holds that more than 12 months, the Rabbanon are going to be Moda, if there's enough Mazonos for more than 12 months, the Rabbanon are going to be Moda to Admon, that there's no Chiluk between Nechasa Muatim and Nechasa Merubim. The Ritva suggests that even though Rav Gamliel holds like Admon, he's explaining the sheet of the Rabbanon, meaning Enochinami. He doesn't agree with the sheet of the Rabbanon, but he's explaining the sheet of the Rabbanon. Alternatively, the Ritva suggests that Rav Gamliel Bar Rebbe is not the Rav Gamliel in the Mishnah. Rav Gamliel in the Mishnah is Rav Gamliel Azakin. Rav Gamliel over here is the son of Rebbe, so it's a different Rav Gamliel. So those are three potential approaches to explaining how Rav Gamliel could take a stand on what's called Nechasim Rubim and Nechasim Muatim. So the Gemara brings an additional shita that holds like Shmuel, that sides with the shita of Shmuel. It marnami kiyasa Ravin, when Ravin came, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, he said in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, Va'amri la Amar Rabbi Barbar Chana, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, and some say that it was Rabbi Barbar Chana says, in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, Kol she'izonu mehen elu ve'elu, achi bagru heim Rubin, Pachs mikana re'el Muatin, that if it's enough to provide mizonos for sons and daughters until the girls become bogros, then that's called nechasim rubim. Less than that is called nechasim muatin. So ask the Gemara v'ileka le'elu ve'elu ad she'ibagru. So let's say you don't have nechasim rubim, right? Let's say you don't have enough mizonos for both the sons and the daughters ad she'ibagru. So it's therefore only considered nechasim muatin. So when that happens, so shakli luhu banos l'kulu? Does it make sense? Now the daughters are going to get all of the nechasim? The Mishnah says that when it's nechasim watim, the banim are yishalal psachim. Makes it sound like we give $0 to the banim. But wait a second. Let's say you have enough to feed the daughters for 12 months, and let's assume, or the daughters ad shei bagru, and the sons almost until that point, a day short of that, right? To ad shei bagru. So that's way more money than the daughters need for mizonos ad shei bagru. So what? We're just going to give all that to the daughters, and the sons are going to get nothing, right? It says that they're shoalal lepsachim, but there's more than there's more nechasim than what's needed to cover the mizonos of the daughters. So why should the extra mizonos not go to the banim? So that's the kasha of the Gemara. Now luchara, it's a little bit difficult. Why is the shail of the Gemara only on the chachamim? Well, that nechasim watim is only when it's ad sheyibagru. The same shail could have been asked in Rav Gamliel. Well, that nechasim watim is when it's not enough mizonos ad yud beis chodesh. That why should the banos take all the nechasim that are enough for the mizonos? That are beyond what's needed for the mizonos of Yud Beis Chodesh. Meaning, even if you hold that the number is Yud Beis Chodesh, and there's enough mizonos to provide for the daughters for Yud Beis Chodesh, and for the sons for 11 months. So now the daughters should take all of that, and the sons should get nothing. So the Tosafot Rush explains that the Shaila of the Gemara is only on the Chachamim, because the Takana of the Ksuba is that the banos get mizonos ad sheyibagru. So we're asking, how could it be that in the Chasim Watim, the daughters are going to get more than that, and the banim are not going to get what remains? But it's not a kasher Rav Gamliel, because so what that the banos get more than 12 months worth of mizonos? Part of the Tanaik Suba is that they get mizonos ad sheyibagru. So it's not, it wouldn't be so shocking to us if the daughters get, even if we define Nechasim Watim by not having enough mizonos for both the sons and the daughters for 12 months, but the Ksuba says that they get Achei Bagru, that they are actually entitled to mizonos Achei Bagru. So it wouldn't be shocking to us that the daughters are actually going to receive more than 12 months worth of mizonos if they're more than 12 months away from becoming gedolos. But if you're going to say that the definition of nechasim watim is not having enough ad sheyibagru, that means even just a hair less than that, and they're getting everything, which means they're going to get more than the mizonos that they need ad sheyibagru. And it doesn't say that in the ksuba, so why should the daughters be getting more than they're entitled to, and the sons get absolutely zero? Ella amar Rava, so Rava says, no, that's not what we mean. We don't give it all to the daughters. Motzi in lahen mizonos lebanos ad sheyibagru. we set aside however much money is needed for the banos to get mezonos until they become a bogeris. Bashar lebanim, and then whatever's left is for the banim. Now, whatever's left is not very much, so it's not going to be enough to provide mezonos even for the banim until that point. So the banim are going to have to be shoal al psachim to fill in. But when it says banim yishal al psachim, it means they're going to be shoal al psachim once they use up the small amount of money that they get, but it doesn't mean that they're not going to get anything. So it turns out that binuchasim watim, the banos only get what they need, and everything else goes to the banim. So the Rishonim raised the question, what's the chilik between nuchasim rub and nuchasim watim in the end of the day? Meaning, what would have been lost if the Tana would have said, Misha meis v'niach banim ubanos, a guy dies, and he has sons and he has daughters, Bein binuchasim rubim, bein binuchasim watim. Whether he has a lot of money or a little money, here are the rules. Habanos nizonos, vashar lebanim. The daughters get the mezonos, everything else goes to the banim. If it's nuchasim rubim, the banim are thrilled. If it's nuchasim watim, the banim aren't so thrilled. Okay, it's the only difference is how happy they are about the whole situation. But either way, the rules are the same. That whatever is beyond the mezonos that the daughters need, in the end of the day, is going to the banim anyway. So why would the Mishnah have to make it sound like? Why does the Mishnah make it sound like? Oh, there are two sets of rules. If it's nuchasim rubim, then the banim are going to get a lot. And if it's nuchasim watim, the banos are going to get a lot. It's all the same rule. Banos get mezonos, everything else goes to the banim. So the Rishonim, the Rimigash, and the Rambam, and the Ramban, all the Rishonim explain that there's a difference, because by Menachasim Rubim, all of the Menachasim are b'cheskas habanim, and the banim don't have to designate the amount of money that's going to be needed to support the daughters ad sheyu bagru. Rather, they just give. They write checks every month. The banim are not chayiv to be don't have to be mitzamtzem in the mezonos. But when it's nechasim uatim, they have to first designate the shear of the mezonos that the daughters are going to need, and then you see what's left over for the banim. Meaning, when it's nechasim rubim, the idea is that the banim are really getting a yerusha. So and that all the money's going to them. Elamai, they have a chiv to support the daughters. When it's nechasim watim, we don't give them a yerusha. We want to first make sure that the banos are taken care of. So we first just give the whatever the banos are going to need to the daughters, and then whatever's left over, the banim are going to be able to take. Now the reason the Chacham said when it's nechasim watim, we don't leave the money with the banim and provide and just tell them, have them support the banos. The Avraham explains this because the Chacham were worried that because of they're going to be so poverty stricken, they're going to use up all the nechasim and there's not going to be anything for the banim. So we don't just entrust it with the banim when it's nechasim watim, when it's nechasim rubim. So they're making, you know, they just inherited millions and millions of dollars. So good. So we could trust that they're going to, give a stipend every month to the daughters to make sure that they have what to eat. But when there's not very much, we cannot trust the banim with that. The Rush writes that even if it's nechasim merubim, if Beis Din sees that the banim are devouring all the nechasim and that there's not going to be enough for the meaning. Let's say there are millions of dollars, but the spending habits of these sons, you know, they were never taught to budget. So Beis Din is concerned that there's not going to be enough for the mezonos of the banos. So there too, the Beis Din would say, okay, we're going to have to designate first money for the banos. So anyway, so that's how Rava concludes. That's how the Gemara concludes that the banim do get whatever is not needed for the mezonos of the banos. So now the Gemara explains what if the nechasim merubim due to inflation or deflation changes to nechasim watim or vice versa. So pshita merubim nismatu. It's obvious that if at the time that the father died there was nechasim merubim and then it became that very same nechasim became nechasim uatim because of inflation. Now food costs so much more money, and what we thought was plenty for mezonos of the banim and the banos achi bagru turns out not to be enough for the banim and banos achi bagru. so kvar zocha ben yorshin. The banim already were zocha in the Yerusha from the time their father died, and therefore it has a dinim nechasim rubim. But muatim v'nisrabu, if it was nechasim muatim, where the banim didn't get Yerusha, and then it was nisrabu, and now there was deflation, the price of food went down, and now there's more than enough to provide the banim and the banos ad shei bagru samai. What's the din of the extra nechasim? Do we say Bershus Yarshin Kaimi that the banim are have a chazaka on it? It's just that they have to give mizonos to the daughters. Hilkach Bershus Yarshin Shavuach, and therefore they're the ones that benefit. Odilmor, I mean the Yarshim are the ones that benefit, the sons. Odilmor, maybe we should say that since it's nechasim watim Salukim Misalki Yarshin Me'acha, that since it was nechasim watim at the time that the father died, so the banim are rejected from the Yerusha. The banos were already zoch and all these nechasim, and therefore the extra doesn't go to the banim; it goes to the banos. Meaning, we're asking fundamentally, how do we look at when nechasim watim happens, and we just give it all to the daughters? How do we look at that? Are we looking at it as like ki'ilu to Yerusha for the daughters, and they get that money, and therefore if it goes up in value, it's theirs? Or are we saying no? The chiyuv is mizonos. So whatever the daughters are going to need for mizonos will be theirs. Whatever they don't need for mizonos, if it happens to be that mizonos becomes a lot cheaper, well, that belongs to the banim. So says Mar Tashma. Let's bring a raya. Am Rabbi Asi, Am Rabbi Yochanan. Yisom in shekadmu machru b'nechasim watim, masha machru machru. That if there was a nechasim watim situation and the yisomim quickly went and sold it before the banos were able to go to Beis Din and get their mizonos, so the sale is a valid sale, and the banos are now not able to get the mizonos from those nechasim because they've already been sold. They're not here anymore. So apparently, why is it a valid sale? Because the banim are the true owners of this property, of the what the father left over. Yes, they have a chiv to provide mizonos for the daughters, but it is theirs. So the banim have a chazaka and these nechasim, even if it's nechasim watim, and therefore it's going to answer our shayla. So if they if the prices of food go down, and now this nechasim watim is not, it has become the chasim rubim, you know, the father left whatever it is, let's say $10,000, and we thought that was just going to be enough to provide the banos with their mizonos, and it turns out that they only need $4,000 to provide the banos with the mizonos, so the other $6,000 belongs to the sons, because it really is theirs, and that's why the mechira is kayim. Now, the mechira is kayim, but what does that do with the chiyuv of providing the mizonos? So the Rishonim point out, the Rimigash and the Rav Haigon say, the banos still have to pay from out of pocket for the mizonos of the daughters. The fact that the mechira is a mechira just means that the banos cannot go collect that from the lepuchos. But the banim still have a chiyuv to provide mizonos for the daughters. The Ramban and the Rash, however, write that the banim are not chayiv to provide mizonos for the daughters, because mazon abanos is only min hakarkos; it's not min hametaltalin. And therefore, they did wrong; they should not have sold it. But once they sold it, they actually get out of that chiyuv of providing mizonos, because they no longer have karka. Now all they have is metaltalin. Okay, so that's the halacha. If there's inflation or deflation. So now the Gemara says, what if there are other claims on the estate? So do we look at the net after all those claims are made and the money is paid out? So how much is left net, you know, for the banim and the banos, and that's how we determine the chasim rubim, the chasim watim? Or do we not look at the other, the other chavos that exist? So we're going to talk about it on with regard to several different types of chavos. So Yosef Rabbi Yirmiyah kamed Rabbi Avo v'kabayi minei. Rabbi Yirmiyah was sitting in front of Rabbi Avo, and he posed the following shayla: Almanaso ma'ushet tamayit bin chasim. What about the almana of the mace? She's entitled to mizonos from the Yerusha until she either gets remarried or until she dies. So does that amount of money that they're going to need to spend on her mizonos does that get deducted from the amount to make it into nechas muatim? Meaning, what if there is enough in the estate to cover the mizonos of the banim and the boat and the banos ad sheyibagru, but not enough to cover the almana, the banim and the banos ad sheyibagru? Because once you cheshbin in that they have to be supporting the almana, then you're not going to have enough mizonos for the banim and the banos ad sheyibagru. So mi aminan kiven de isla mizoni mimata. Do we assume that since she's entitled to the mizonos, so therefore that gets deducted from the amount of the nechasim, and it's considered nechasim uatim, and Beis Din is going to have to designate a certain amount for the mizonos of the daughters before they allow the sons to take anything? O Dilma, kiven de la mitzva lesla, or maybe since she can get married tomorrow and then she won't be entitled to any mizonos, so this whole chiyuv may amount to nothing, right? Because if she gets married, then she's not entitled to anything. Well, hashanami lesla. Now that she's not married, the Beis Din also doesn't have to designate her mizonos, and it's not going to be mimayit from the nechasim. And since it's nechasim rubim, the Yerushas b'cheskas, the banim, and the banim will have that responsibility to provide both for the banos and for the almana, but the banim, in fact, get a Yerusha. Now, Tosos raises the kasha that even if she gets married, the bas doesn't get that we're saying that the svara is that if the almana gets married, well, then there's not going to be, you're not going to have this chiv of mezonos, and there's going to be nechasim merubim if the almana gets married tomorrow. Yeah, and what if the bas were to get married tomorrow? If the bas were to get married tomorrow, the same would also be true. Then there's no chiv of mezonos for the daughters either. And nevertheless, the Gemara says that certainly the mezonos of the bas goes into the cheshbon of what's called nechasim muatim. Right, that's the whole cheshbon, the mezonos of the banim and banos. So why is the Gemara not sure about the almana being made in the chasim on account of the fact that she might get married the next day? The bas might also get married the next day. So Tosa suggests in Dibra Maskel E that the takanas chachamim muatim is said about banos because they're benos yerusha when there are no banim. Meaning, if there were no sons, the daughters would get the yerusha. And the Chum did not want to make this takan of the chasim muatim to uproot the nechasim from the banim for the sake of the almana. So they're not sure when there's already banim ubanos that are notos mizonos and they're mematos bin nechasim, is the almana also might bin nechasim. But when there are no banos and there's only an almana and banim, or there's only banos and they're the ones that get the Yerusha, then the almana does not make the nechasim into nechasim muatim. The Rambam paskins that if there's an almana and a bas, the almana gets the mizonos and the bas is tishal al psachim. So that's what the Ramban and the Magen Mishnah derive from there, that he means to paskin that if there's an almana and banim, the almana is docha the banim from the Yerusha for the sake of her mizonos, which happens to be 2 days in Shulchan Aruch, whether that in fact is the case. So that's if whether the almana takes away from the bottom line of nechasim muatin. Now the Gemara says, and if you're going to tell me that the almana does not go into that cheshbon because she can get married the next day and then she won't be entitled to any mizonos, so hashtanami lesla, so therefore she's not mimayit bin nechasim. So let me ask you another shayla. Bas ishto. What if the guy was on the hook to support his wife's daughter from another marriage? He had signed on 5 years of support for the daughter from another marriage. So now that the Yorshmar left with having to provide that mizonos for the daughter from the other marriage. Maushet amayit bin nechasim. Do we deduct that from the nechasim when we're cheshbening whether something is nechasim rubim or nechasim muatin? Mi aminon kiven dechi mitzva nami yisla. Do we assume that even if she were to get married, she would still be entitled to that mizonos until the 5 year time period is up, umimata, and therefore it should make the nechasim into nechasim muatim, and bezin should be mafresh mizonos for her and for the banos of the mace, and the banim will be left being shoal al psachim. O Dilma, kiven di lumesa lesla lamata. Or maybe there's even a possibility that you won't have to provide for her because she might die. The commitment was to support her for 5 years, only so long as she's alive for all those 5 years. But if she were to die before the end of the 5 years, she would not be entitled to the mizonos from the nechasim, and therefore maybe now whatever is owed to her for the mizonos will not go into the cheshbon to determine that it's nechasim watan to be memayit b'nechasim. And v'im tim tzalomer kivin di l'meis alesla lo mimata. And if you're going to say that since if she were to die, she would not be entitled to any mizonos, and therefore we don't take what's owed to her into the cheshbon when determining whether we have nechasim rubim or nechasim watim, well then I'll raise another question to you. If the father had borrowed money from somebody before he had died, and the Yerusha does not have enough to pay the balchov that they owe the money to, plus mizonos of the banim and the banos hachi bagru. So the estate would have more than enough for banim banos hachi bagru, for mizonos banim banos hachi bagru, but it doesn't have enough for banim banos hachi bagru once you take into account the yerush, the balchov, once you take into account that he owed money to somebody else. So does that get taken into account? Balchov ma'ushe ma'it bin chasim. Money that he owes to Balchov, is that going to be ma'it bin chasim? Mi amrinu kivin duchi ma'is nami yislei. Do we assume that since if the Balchov were to die, he still would be entitled to that money because his Yorshim would be entitled to that money, right? When a person dies, his Yorshim are still entitled to all the money that's owed to him, and therefore mima'it, and therefore we should take what's owed to him into account when determining whether we have nechasim rubim or nechasim watim, o dilma, or maybe kivin de mechasri guvayna lo memayit, or maybe since the chov is mechusu gavia, so it's not, meaning it's not going to be might bin chasim, in kol's man that he hasn't collected the chov, the banim are holding on to the money, and they're going to support and it will be used to support the banim and the banos. So when the bal chov wants to come and collect his chov, if there's anything left, the in the nechasim after the collection of the chov, the banos will get support from that achi bagru, and if there's nothing left, they'll lose out, so they'll be stuck. So v'ika debayila. So that's the series of shailas. So shaila number one was if there's money, the mizonos, whether the mizonos owed to an almana is memayit bin chasim. Shaila number two is imtim tzalomar that it's not memayit bin chasim. What about a commitment to bas ishto? And shaila number three was that imtim tzalomar that the bas ishto is not memayit bin chasim. What about a balchov? Is a balchov memayit bin chasim? So others have a different version of the whole conversation. The ikad ba'ila, some have raised these sveikos li'idach kisa in the opposite way than the way we just presented it. And it goes like this. Balchov ma'ushe ma'it bin chasim, starting with Balchov. And the study of safek are, do we assume that since the chov is not yet been collected, it's not going to be ma'it bin chasim? Or should we say that since even if he were to die, his Yorshim would still be entitled to that chov, it will be memayit bin chasim. And if you're going to be poshet that suffix and say that a balchov taka is memayit bin chasim, because even if he were to die, the chov would still be kayam, okay, but bas ishto ma'ushet memayit bin chasim. What about bas ishto that he's obligated to support for the next 5 years? If she dies, he's not going to have to continue to pay that mizonos. So does what's owed to her get taken off of the cheshbon of nechasim watim? Since kolzman that she's alive, even if she were to get remarried, the chov still exists? Or do we assume that since if she were to die, the chov would not exist? So right now, it's not going to be ma'it bin chasim either. And if you want to be poshet that suffix and say that she is ma'it bin chasim, that's only because the chov would still exist even if she got married. Maybe it won't exist if she dies, but if she got married, the chov would exist. And therefore, I have a shayla of almanasu ma'ushel to ma'it bin chasim. Right? We're asking in the reverse. What about the almana? Do we assume that she'll be ma'it bin chasim because kolzman that she doesn't get that she doesn't get married, the yorshim are chayiv bin mizonoseha? Or do we say, but she can get married tomorrow and then they won't be chayiv in anything? And if you're going to say she's mema'etes bin chasim almanaso bas ezemehen kodemes, what if someone has an almana and a bas that are both deserving of getting mizonos? It's a tanai ksuba that each one is going to be supported, each one is going to get mizonos. But what if you don't have enough money to give them both mizonos? So which one gets precedence? Does the almana get precedence? Does the bas get precedence? Now that suffix wasn't brought up in the first lashon, right? That one is a new addition. So the Rashash explains because this suffix is only if you say that an almana is memaetes bin chasim. But according to the first lashon, the seder of the sveikos was only if you're poshet the previous sveikos where they're not memaet. So you can't have this suffix after the almana suffix ma'ushet ma'it bin chasim, because it just wouldn't have fit the trend, because it's only the Seder only works if it's not Mimayit in the first Lashon. So anyway, so these are all the Shailas. So the Gemara says, here's the answer. Amalei, Rabbi Avu responded to Rabbi Yirmiya, Rabbi Avu responded to Rabbi Yirmiya, Zili in the Vatala Machar. You know what? Come back tomorrow, let me think about it. So Kiyasa, when he came back the next day, Amalei said, okay, I can give you somewhat of an answer. Pshot Mias Chada. I could at least be poshet one of your sveikos. You're not sure, that last suffix that you had, almana ubas, which one is kodemus? You don't have enough mezonos for both of them. So who wins? Tam Rabbi Abba, Am Rabbi Asi, asu almana etzalabas, kibas etzalachin, benachas muatin, that we treat an almana with regard to the daughters the way we would treat a daughter with regard to brothers when it comes to nechasim muatin, when there's not enough mezonos for the bas and the banim. That ma bas etzalachin, ha bas nizonos va achin yishalal psachin, just like when there are boys and girls, and there's not enough to go around, the daughters get the mezonos, and the sons are going to be stuck being shaul al psachim. So af almana it's al abas, almana nizonos va bas to shaul al psachim. So too, when it's an almana and a bas, the almana is going to get the mezonos, and the daughter is going to be the one that's left being shaul al psachim. So the riff writes that, so the Gemara was only poshet that last one, so we weren't poshet any of the first three sveikos. So the riff writes that we go to kula motzmi chaver al avaraya, and therefore the banim are yorshim everything, and the nechasim are called nechasim rubim, and it's not, we're not memayit from the nechasim. But with the suffix of the almana, the Ramban and the Ran write that it's nifshat, that it's memaetes, because she's kodemus labas. And he says that that's mashma from the Rif that way, because he's not goris in the Shnabasra, the suffix of the almana, because it's pashut that she's takamima etas. Okay, so now the Gemara goes back to explain what Admon said in the Mishnah. Admon had this cryptic phrase where, when you heard about this, that if there's not enough to go around, the daughters are going to get mizonos, and the sons are going to be left with nothing. They're going to be shol al psachim. So Admon Omer, b'shvil shani zachar of sadzi, what, just because I'm a man, I lose out? So my kamar, what does he mean? What's his problem? Meaning, it sounds like he's entitled to more because he's male, and therefore he's wondering why that should be the case. Why should, because he's male, should he be entitled to more? The way the Rishonim explained it is, where do we ever find there's a greater zuchus for a male in mizonos than there is for a female in mizonos? Meaning, everyone's got to eat. So where do we ever find that men have more of a right to eat than women do? That's what the Rashbam understands. The Ramban adds that it's mistaber that he's going to lose out because he's a zachar, because there's a tanai ksuba for the mezonos of the nekevos. That's a chov. Whereas this is just Yerusha after the chovos are already paid off. But this is a chov. This is a ksuba spin in nukvin is a chov that the father had. So what's his problem? Why does he have difficulty understanding why the banos are going to take precedence over the banim? So Abai explains, Amar Abai hachi kamar. What he meant to say is, b'shvil shani zachar v'roya ni lasuk b'tora hifsadti. Since a zachar is osik b'tora, so typically he gets greater zuchuyos than in the keva. So he says, because I'm osik b'torah, so I'm going to lose out. So I'm going to Rava. Rava says, what does osik b'torah have to do with it? El me'ata, if you think the entire zuchus of a zachar more than a keva is because he's osik b'torah, it would turn out that if a person has two sons and one of them is osik b'torah, the other one is not, man osik b'torah diyaris lo osik b'torah lo yaris. You think that's the way dina Yerusha work? That Yerusha only goes to people who are osik b'torah? That's not true. Everyone gets Yerusha whether they're osik in Torah or not. Ella Amareva Hachikamer. Now, what he was matmiya on, what Admon was wondering about, is Bishvil Shani Zachar Veroe Ani Lirosh Binuchas Merubim. If my father was a billionaire, I would get, you know, if my father left us $10 billion, I would get $9.99 billion, and then we'd leave a little bit over on the end to give mezonos of the daughters. So now that he wasn't a billionaire, I get nothing. The daughters are going to get more than me. Hifsadti b'nechasim watim. I lose out when it comes to nechasim watim. If there's not enough mezonos for both the banim and the banos, I'm going to get less than the nekeva. So rather, what he was suggesting, the way the Rishonim understand, what he was suggesting, the way the Rashban said, is that we should split it evenly. There's not enough. So if there's not enough, the sons and the daughters should split whatever there is, whatever we can. Rabbeinu Tam was quoted in Tosfos and Kuflam and Tesam and Beis that Adman wasn't even suggesting that. He wasn't saying anything that halacha should be different. He wasn't even arguing. He was just noting the anomaly. He was just saying, strange, right? In that it's unusual that the Badim are going to lose out. But he actually agrees that there is no second Shita. But the Pashtus is that there is a second sheet, that he is in fact disagreeing. Now this discussion that we have about the Bishvil Shani Zachar Hifsadati and that he thought because he's Osik B'Torah he should Yarshin more, and the Gemara said no, we never find such a thing. So he said it's just because of his greater Zuchus in the Yerusha. So the Chuvus Maram Chalva brings a Raya from here in Chuvus Maram Chalva Simin Samuch Vav about Yarshim, where one of them is a Shtikl Yodea Sefer. There are two brothers. One of them is Namarz Gomer, and one of them is a Shtikl Yodea Sefer. And the father happened to have a very fancy, expensive library of beautiful Svarim, and that had some value to it. So the one that was a Yodea Sefer said, look, I'll take all the Svarim, then we should split the rest of the Yerusha. You have no Shaychus to the Svarim. I at least have Shaychus to the Svarim. The rest of the Yerusha we should split. So in Shuvus Maram Chalva, they said, it's not a Taina. He says, that Taina is Hevel, because that's exactly what our Gemara is saying. Elamiyata, Dasuk B'Torah Yaris, Dasuk B'Torah Lo Yaris. This all has value. Someone who gets who's Osik B'Torah doesn't get any more of a right to Yerusha. Tosfos writes that even though the Gemara says that it's mitzvah lazon es habanos and kol shkein es habanim because they're osik b'torah, so you see that there's an additional mitzvah in giving mizonos to banim that are osik b'torah. He says that's when it comes to giving mizonos, not from a Yerusha perspective. But in our sugya, you're giving the mammon to Yorshim b'toras Yerusha. So Yerusha itself is its own mitzvah, whether you're osik b'torah or whether you're not osik b'torah. Meaning, this is not a statement about dinei tzedakah. When you have an opportunity to provide for somebody, and you can provide for somebody who's Osik B'Torah, or to provide for somebody who's not Osik B'Torah, the Osik B'Torah does get precedence, meaning that still exists. So in Shuvah Beis Yitzchak, he discusses someone who was brought to a hospital, and on the way, he gave money to someone, and he said that if I die, do with this money, kiritzono v'daito, whatever you think is the best thing to do with the money, and then he died. So the guy wanted to know, should he use it to provide for lomdei mishnayos and things like that it will learn the Ila Nishmaso, or should he give it to the Yorshim B'Torah Yerusha? So Beis Yitzchak writes, based on our sugya and based on our tosos, better to give it to the banim for the Yerusha, because if you could be Mekayim Mitzvah Yerusha, that takes precedence over the need to support Oskei Torah, meaning the fact that the guy was an Osek B'Torah, our Gemara says, is irrelevant. You give it to Yerusha first. Yerusha takes precedence over Oskei B'Torah. Now says the Mishnah, let's say a guy left children, sons, daughters, and a tumtum, rachman al son. B'zman shal nechasim rubim, when there's a nechasim rubim to provide for everybody, hazacharim dochon osay son lekevus. So hazacharim will say, you don't get a chelik in the Yerusha with us, you'll get mizonos with the nekevos, because we don't know that you're a ben. You might be a bas. Nechasim watim, if there's not enough nechasim for the sons to get Yerusha, and the banos are going to get mizonos, and the banim are going to be left being shol al psachim, hanekevus dochon osay son. The daughters can say, you're not going to get mizonos, you could be shol al psachim together with the boys. Ha'omer, if a guy says, im teilid ishti zachar yi talmana, then if my wife gives birth to a baby boy, then I want him to get a mana from my nechasim. Halacha is yolda zachar, if shitaka gives birth to a boy, yi talmana, then that baby is going to get a mana. Nekeva masayim, and if he says, if my wife gives birth to a baby girl, I want her to get 200 zuz, so yolda nekeva natalis masayim. Im zachar mana im nekeva masayim, and if he says, if my wife has a baby boy, I want him to get 100, and if it's a baby girl, I want her to get 200. The elder zachar nekeva, and it was twins, it was a boy and a girl, so zachar no tel mana, nekeva no tel masayim. They each get the amount that he had promised. Yolda tumtum, if she gives birth to a tumtum, eino no tel, gets neither, because a tumtum is neither a zachar nor a nekeva. But im amar kol mashe teli rishti yitol, harezi yitol. But if he says, whatever the baby is, I don't care. You know, whatever the gender of the baby, let him get X amount of money. Let the baby get X amount of money. Well, then even if it's a tumtum, it's going to get that amount of money. V'im ein sham yoresh elohu, yoresh es hakol. And if the only yoresh happens to be the tumtum, then he gets the entirety of the Yerusha. Because even though a tumtum is maybe a beria b'fnei atzma, that's only legabe the brothers, that they could be doche him to the daughters or vice versa. But he's still bechlal, ein lo ben ayena lov, ein lo bas ayena leha, that if there's any zera, if there's any offspring that he has, that offspring is entitled to the Yerusha. So the Mishnah had said, when there's nechasim Reuben, there's nechasim mar dochen oso, eitzal and akevos. So dochen oso, vishakel kabas. That makes it sound like, okay, he'll get, the tumtum will get mezonos like a daughter. But then our katani seif, and the seif of the Mishnah says, that if a guy says, if my wife gives birth to a zachar, let her get a mana, and if it's in the keva, let her get masayim, yoldo tumtum in a notel. They get nothing, not like a ben, nor like a bas. Shouldn't we say that that you give the tumtum the lesser amount, right? That you just, it's amotum yechavera lavraya, so you just give the lesser amount? Some rabbi, says, no, that when we say that we're dochno, so it doesn't mean that he gets like a bas. Dochno so ve'eimo. Dochno so means he gets neither, that the banim will be dochlim to the nekevos, the nekevos will be dochlim to the banim, and it will turn out that he'll be left with nothing. Not with the banim, not with the nekevos. Rava Amar, Rava says, no, dochno so ve'eshlo. It means he is going to get like the banos. Ve'seif ha'san Rav Shimon Gamliel, and the seif is assuming like Rav Shimon Gamliel, detnan, because we have a Mishnah in the Seches Temura that Yolda Tumtum Van Drogonus from Shimon Gamliel Omer, Ein Kedusha Chala Alehen, that if there's a Mevakeres that's pregnant, and he says that which is B'me'eha Shalzu, if it's a Zachar, let it be an Ola. If it's a if it gives birth to a Zachar, it's an Ola. Im Nekeva, let it be a Shlamim. So if it gives birth to a Nekeva, it's a Shlamim. And if it's a Tumtum Van Drogonus, Rav Shimon Gamliel says there's no Kedusha whatsoever, because Rav Shimon Gamliel holds the Tumtum Van Drogonus is not a Suffix Zachar and Nekeva, it's a Beria B'fnei Atzma. So if you're Makdish a Zachar and Nekeva, so it's a Bria Acheres over here. So Rabbi says the Seifa of our Mishnah follows Rav Shimon Gamliel, and that's why in the Seifa we ask her we say that if it's a Tumtum, it's Eino Notel, because it's a Beria B'fnei Atzma. The Reisha, which assumes you can go to the Nekevos, is assuming like the Shita that disagrees that it's a Suffix Zachar, Suffix Nekeva, and therefore you get the lesser amount. Okay, but from tomorrow we'll pick up with Mesevei. Everyone have a great day.